Father, we thank you for this Christmas season as we remember your goodness, that you came, you did not leave us, forsake us, or abandon us. You came to rescue us, and Lord, we look to the day when you will come again. We thank you for this time. We ask that you would speak to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. May we hear from you, from your word this morning. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, worship. Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. And we are, man, do you guys love Christmas season? I love this stuff. I'm a sucker for it. You guys? No? Some of you? No? Just one person likes Christmas? All right. Ooh, all right. Thank you. Come on. Balcony's feeling it. All right. Balcony likes Christmas. We are excited to be in this season. We're reminded of the joy that God has for us, that we were his prize, his possession, and that's why he came to this earth, and that's why we celebrate, and that's why we decorate, and that's why we're in this. So we are wrapping up our last sermon series on embrace. We've been in the book of Habakkuk, and we've been looking at this prophet, one of the 12 minor prophets, and kind of a story in how to, we are just in difficult times in our society, and yet Habakkuk has this wrestling back and forth with God, and he still has this joy. We'll see in just a moment. Well, let me read the text, because this whole sermon series, as it brings it to a conclusion, and if this is your first time, we're glad you're here. You'll be fine jumping in this sermon. It'll stand alone. But it says this, chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls. So listen to this. You have an economic disaster going on here. It's a catastrophe. You have a recession going on. There's no fig trees. The fig tree doesn't bud. There's no grapes on the vine. The olive crop fails. The fields produce no crop, and there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Ecclesiastes 11 teaches us kind of the biblical principle of diversification, that in your investments, don't just invest all your money in one thing. Diversify it. It says not seven, but eight things. Yes, do that. Spread your money out. All the different categories, a diverse portfolio, if you will, and they're wiped out. Because although they had money back then, it was a currency, was trading, was crops, it was their livelihood, sheep, cattle. This is how they survived, and it's gone. And yet, Habakkuk says, yet, I will rejoice, verse 18. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to tread on the heights. How is Habakkuk talking about treading on the heights? It's an absolute economic disaster. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. How can you have joy even when the whole world is a mess? Whether it's a society and economic downturn, or maybe you lost a job, or maybe just a family tragedy, how do you handle the stress of life? Can you still have joy? Could you still have a joyful Christmas season without all of the ornaments and the decorations? I love them. But when everything's a mess around you, can you still have joy? And that's what I want to prepare us for as we are talking about embracing for difficult times, whether we're in them or we're upon them. How do we prepare? Because it's good to plan. And so we're going to look at how you can have this joy. We looked at it a little bit last week, but I want us to look at this week joy and how that's connected to generosity. Because generosity will lead us to joy. And so we're going to break that down a little bit here this morning. Let me read this verse a little bit for you. Or just going to read the verse, not a little bit. Here's the verse. Proverbs 11:24. We'll have it up on the screen. This is from the Message translation. Says this. The world of a generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. So the world of the generous get larger and larger. I mean, isn't this true? I believe this to be so true. Generous people are just fun to be around, aren't they? Not just because they bless you, but they're a blessing to be around. There's something, when somebody's generous, they show they're not worried about themselves. Oh, let me pick up that tab. Let me take care of this person. They're generous in spirit, generous with their words. Think about that in contrast to somebody that's stingy with their words, stingy with their money. We think of Scrooge and the Grinch and just grumpy people, right? There's a heart of a generous person and the heart of a stingy person. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So Jesus, although this isn't just a sermon about money, what we're talking about is Jesus cares about our hearts, because how we interact with people comes off. If we're stingy and unkind people, nobody wants to be around that type of person. So if Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will be, it's connected to how you spend your money. Let's turn with me over to one of the first five books of the Bible, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 26. It says this. So this is, to set this up, how we're looking at, if we're going to talk about generosity, how that leads to joy, the Bible gives us examples, commands. God actually commands us how to use our money. So if your treasure is, your heart's going to follow your treasure, God tells you how to spend your treasure. And so here we have in Leviticus, we're not in Leviticus, but in Leviticus 27, kind of gives the principle of the tithe. And the tithe is the first tenth of your money. And some of you are like, shoot, I came to that sermon. Oh man, like exit, where's it at? It's not that sermon, but it is that sermon. But hold on with me. If you're freaking out or this is your first time, you'll be good, all right? We already took the offering. All right, so you're good. We're not gonna pass around a plate and say, come on, cough it up. It's about your heart this morning, and that's what we wanna look at. So it says this, verse 4, chapter 26, we're in Deuteronomy 26, verse 4. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare the Lord before the Lord your God. So let me pause right here. So he's described, there's this description of how you're to give the tithe. The tithe is the first 10%. So imagine all these crops that have disappeared that Habakkuk's talking about. The first tenth that comes in, the first tenth of your income. So setting that aside instead of just waiting for the scraps and the leftovers. So coming before. So he's describing, but it's very different than we might think and how to tithe. Because you'll see it's not just about money, because listen to all the description that goes on behind it. Verse 5 continues, and it says this, then you shall declare before the Lord your God. So bringing a gift, and then there's a declaration on top of that. And listen what we're to say. It says this. It says, then you shall declare before the Lord, my father was a wandering Aramean. He went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. With great terror and with signs and wonders, he brought us to this place and gave us this land. Now notice what type of land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that to you, that Lord, first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. So there's this worshiping of God, and I think there's some key principles that I want us to look at here this morning. And the first one is that, as we're looking at, that we remember where your blessings come from. Remember where your blessings come from. Because what's going on here in Deuteronomy, we're remembering all of the good things that God has done. We're remembering who gives us all of this. We were wandering Arameans. That's what it's being described here in the text. I mean, even in Habakkuk 1, we see, as we looked at earlier, we talked about remembering, I remember in chapter 3, verse 1, remembering all the good that God has done. So we're called to remember where the blessings come from, where everything that we have is God's anyway. I was thinking about this. I was sitting down with my daughters this week, the little story of the little red hen. Do you guys know this story? Where the little red hen is, she's baking something, and so she's going around, she's picking wheat and getting flour and doing all these things to bake some, I forget, what's it, bread or a cake or something, a steak. And so she's getting ready, and she goes around, she's asking everybody else, she says, hey, can you help me do this? And they're like, the cat and the dog and everyone else says, no, I can't help, I'm lazy, I'm just hanging out. And so she just keeps about her work. And she goes on, she asks, who can help me do this? Nobody. Who can help me do this? Nobody. Then when it comes time to eat, I think it's the cake. Does anyone know? What is it? The cake? The bread? Cake? Bread? I hear, there's different versions. So I hear in cake and bread, you're all right. So they're about to eat the cake bread, and she's about to eat, and she says, who will help me eat this? And then they're all of a sudden, all the lazy ones are like, I will, I will. And she says, where were you when I was doing this, cleaning this, collecting this wheat, and so on? And then she's going in the store and she says, you don't get a part of this because you didn't help. So it's a good story to teach. There's a biblical principle behind it. If you don't work, you don't eat. So there's something right that's being taught there. Yet there's an aspect that the little red hen misses. Because the little red hen was like, where were you when I planted the seed? And then when the seed grew, I took it. But I was just like, I wanted to start preaching at the little red hen. I was just like, well, what about you, little red hen? You know, 1 Corinthians 3:7 says, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but God gives the growth. So if God was the one, I was like, who are you, hen? You didn't make that wheat grow. You just threw some water on it. You don't even know how that grows. You know, or you're bringing this. You don't know the molecular structure of wheat and how that breaks down the bread and the cake. Like, you have no idea. And yet, you say, this is all mine. We can do that, can't we? I feel like I'm the red hen sometimes. Well, I've picked myself up by my bootstraps. I've worked hard to get to where I'm at. Don't we do that? Yet, what God is saying, remember, be connected that you were once a people. Remember where the blessings come from. And then the second box I want us to write down is remember where you came from. So you remember where the blessings come from. Everything that has been given is from God. Oh, the wheat. The little red hen was talking about the wheat. Where did she get the seed? I love, some of you watch Shark Tank. Right before, they're like, so-and-so is a self-made man who built his empire out of nothing. And it's like, oh, he literally made himself? He's a self-made man? No, he was created. We didn't just appear out of nothing. So remember where you come from. The Bible says, from dust you came and dust you shall return. We remember, just as it says in Deuteronomy, that we're wandering Aramaeans. Now, many of us might not have come from that family line necessarily, but we remember that we've wandered from God, that we've gone astray from God, that God has rescued us out of captivity, some of us from addiction, some of us from the way we just have spent money all on ourselves, and some of us depression, and God has rescued some of us and given us freedom. And so we have to remember where we came from. You see that often in sports. These athletes have all the money, and a lot of them in their culture, they try to remind each other, well, remember where you came from. And some of them came from well-off neighborhoods, but some came from poor neighborhoods. And there's a neat aspect about remembering when you step into that wealth where you came from. And so God says, I want not to belittle us, but to remember where you come from and where you're going. And so I think that's so key to have and to focus on generosity. Now, here's the thing I want us to see is that generosity cannot be connected to our current circumstance. That it has to think about the word happiness. Happiness is about what's happening to you, what's happening around you. true joy will happen is no matter the circumstance, you will be able to give. Because you remember that you were a wandering Aramean. You remember that everything, you're now in a land flowing with milk and honey, a blessing. He says, I made you a rich and powerful, numerous nation. Sometimes don't we get embarrassed of the way God blesses us? It's interesting, in that text, to be reminded that God's the one that blesses, so don't be embarrassed when God blesses you. We're not going to even talk about the biblical principle today that when you give, God actually promises, he says, different than so many other things, he says, I want you to test me in giving. And I want you to try it, and I promise you will be blessed even more. Sometimes it's a physical return. He promises to bless us financially even more. And you can ask people around the church. It's crazy how it happens. We don't do that to gain that joy, but it's just kind of a consequence of it. But that's a whole nother sermon, a whole nother day. But what God wants us to have our joy and our generosity is being rooted in no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, that you can give and give away. Now, here's the next principle, third box down, I want us to look at, is prepare a feast, don't serve your leftovers. Prepare a feast, don't serve your leftovers. God says, I want the tithe, I want the beginning. Don't just give me, well, at the end of the month, let me see if I have enough, God, to help your mission and to help the poor. No, he says, I want the best, and I want you to give other people the best. I mean, imagine that image. We just got out of Thanksgiving. Imagine you're sitting down with your family in Thanksgiving. Somebody's like, hey, could you pass the turkey? And you're like, oh, we ate it all yesterday. Well, we have this casserole that nobody really liked yesterday. You know, everyone's got kind of that casserole in the family. Like, nobody wants to tell Auntie. Nobody likes it. You know what I'm saying? Every year, everyone takes a little dollop, and it just, the whole pot's still there. That casserole is still all there. And it's like, oh, well, you could have the casserole that nobody likes. And so you're here. Some of you are like, nobody likes my casserole? Sorry to break the news. But imagine that, right? You go to a Thanksgiving feast, and what if somebody just gave you the leftovers? How would that feel? But it's not just with our money. I do this with my children. I try and wake up in the morning before I head to work. I try and give them some of my best energy and get down on the floor and try and wake up a little extra early to play with them. Or if that's not possible, sometimes coming in at the end of my day where I just want to veg out, I'm tired, Sports Center, you know, just click, relax. But I have to sit there sometimes in my driveway and pray, God, give me strength. Help me not to just give my kids leftovers. Help me to give them the very best. Do you know right now our kids and our kids program under Pastor Sheree are learning about generosity. They're learning about how to give. So if you have children, teach them how to give. Model this for them. Model how you sacrifice, how you love each other, how you love your spouse, and how you love other people. Teach them. They need to know, and it's something that needs to be taught. Do you know that they've done studies, study after study after study, and these keep coming out? People that are more generous, that give their lives away, that serve, they have lower stress levels, lower, and we don't do this to receive the blessing, but it's just a natural, I believe it's a natural blessing God gives. Lower stress levels, longevity of life is increased. And why? I feel like it's in this text in Habakkuk, because it says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God, and the Lord, I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Generosity gives us a whole new worldview. It expands our vision. It allows us to be not centered on ourselves and to be focused on other people. I mean, just think about that. What if you could be in a world where you were removed from all of the criticism? Think about all the criticism and just negativity you heap on yourself. Think of all the unkind words. I was reflecting on this text, and I just caught myself this week, time and time again, just negative voices. But when you're generous, a generous person, they're almost removed from that stress because they're up on the vista. They have a high point they can see. And we talked about in previous weeks, why the high point? Because you can see in these times, you could see the enemy coming. On the high point, you were protected. You were in a safer spot. And so God, by being generous, allows us to tread on the heights. Now, sometimes it's scary on the heights. I had somebody from the first service show me this picture of these goats that climb up on the heights. And it's just this picture here that, like the feet of a deer, just climbing on these walls that are almost vertical. They can be scary, and it can be difficult. And in fact, when you give and you're generous, it costs something. That's what we cannot miss in this. Is that to be generous and to find joy, it's going to cost you. And in order to get a hold of that joy, there is this treading up on the walls, but God, notice this, it's the sovereign Lord is my strength. He is the one that enables us to tread up on the heights. And the last point that we kind of focus in and bring this in, I want us to see this ultimate point as we wrap up Habakkuk. And that usually means a pastor talk another 40 minutes, so sit tight. I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, I've got shopping. It'll happen. You can just pull up Amazon right now. You don't even have to listen to me, right? There you go. No, I'm just kidding. Stop. All right. So Habakkuk, worship team, you guys can come on up. I'm just teasing. Habakkuk, he's saying you can tread on the heights. You can do all this by giving your life away. And the sacrifice that you give, it's going to cost something. And this should point us to Jesus. Because here in Luke, we don't need to go there, but write the verse down. Luke 24, verse 44. Jesus says he just rose from the dead. He conquered the grave. And he's standing there with his disciples. And he says, don't you understand? This is just paraphrasing it. He says, don't you understand? You have to see that the law of Moses, what we just looked at in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, the law of Moses, all of the prophets, Habakkuk, he's here, all of the prophets, I had to come to fulfill all of the things that were written about me. The disciples didn't fully understand that the Old Testament points forward to Jesus. The Old Testament shows us. So why would God want us to give and to continue to give this way, remembering where we came from? Why would he want us to sacrifice just as he did? Because it points us to the cross. Habakkuk looked forward to the day that Jesus came. The Bible says Jesus, when he was walked on this earth, he told people, he says, Abraham never mentioned the word Jesus yet. Jesus says, Abraham looked forward to my day. The Old Testament, the prophets point towards Jesus. The only way you and I are able to sacrifice and to live up on the hill, up on the mountainside, is to see that Jesus went up on the mountainside. Jesus went up on the hillside. That's where he was crucified, up on the hillside, because he went up, he sacrificed himself. Jesus had no food, no clothing. He didn't have a place to stay. Jesus didn't have it. God of the universe gave it all away. Why? The writer of Hebrews says that he approaches the cross because of the joy set before him. Do you know what the joy of the holiday season, why Jesus came? You can look to your left and to your right. I mean, look around. This is the joy. You are the joy that was set before God. The reason Jesus sacrificed, it cost him something. Generosity costs a lot. To be generous people, it will cost you, yet you will gain a joy. Jesus had a joy before him, his people that were wandering, and he says, I'm going to come to this earth, I'm going to die on the cross, be a sacrifice for their sins so that they could be restored back to me. Jesus gave it all. He gave his whole entire life so that his people could be restored to him. Notice this. This text, what happens when we begin to live this way? The very end of this says, verse 11, then you, and the Levites. The Levites were the priests, the pastors. And the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given you, and you and to your household. So if you're taking notes on that last point, be generous and soon you'll be rejoicing with others. Why would he be rejoicing? So you're called to give. Why rejoicing with the pastors and the poor? Because that's where the tithe is to go. What? To carry on the mission. So the preaching goes on. So a spiritual component. So why? Others could be set free spiritually. And then the poor. Why we give to the poor and why as a church we are fighting poverty here in the city and our surrounding cities and across the world is because it's a spiritual way we preach the gospel, and then a physical way we want to show God's love. The joy set before him. This Christmas season, you have an opportunity to share God's love. You have an opportunity to share it here by bringing a friend to hear about the greatest news on this planet. That Jesus died. He went up on that hill for you, the joy set before him. He sacrificed so that you could live. He died so you could live. We get to communicate that spiritually. And we get to communicate that physically by helping needs, meeting physical needs, giving food to the poor, feeding the hungry. And why? There's rejoicing. There's a joy that you get to be a part of and seeing God's mission go on, both spiritually and physically. Friends, that's why we celebrate those things here. That's why we celebrate the hungry getting fed. We celebrate when people make a decision and they step out from darkness into light. That Jesus goes and he rescues us. We celebrate that. We have to keep celebrating. As the writer of Deuteronomy says, that we need to keep on celebrating. Remember these things as you give and you're generous this Christmas season. Remember that you were wandering. Remembering the hope that you have, the love that you have, no matter what the circumstance, that there's a joy that God has to return his people to him. And there's going to be a great rejoicing that we get to celebrate. And it's joyful to give. No matter what the world can happen, it can all fade away. But there's something that can't be taken away from you, and that's your heart and God's love for you. We're going to take a moment to sing. We cannot lose. We have to ground ourselves in Habakkuk, the Old Testament, and remind ourselves of God's great love for us in this Christmas season. Let's take a moment and just prepare our hearts. Let me pray and then we'll enter into this time of singing. Father, we do thank you that you are a generous God. Lord, you stopped at nothing to rescue us. Lord, help us to be a generous people. Help us to rejoice with others, to see others live, not just during the Christmas season, but throughout the whole year. Lord, you've called us as a people on a mission that we get to use our money for good things, Lord. And Lord, it's more than just our money. It's our hearts, Lord. Where our treasure is, our hearts will be there too. Lord, help us to be expanded. Lift us up. Lift our eyes from ourselves and help us see a whole new world. As Proverbs says, may our world expand and get larger and larger. May the community around Wilshire grow because of your great love and your love for us and your love that's flowing through us. God, what would it look like in this place if we were a more generous people? Show us, Lord, right now, tell us in our hearts. Maybe we've said, I'm generous enough. May we see that we are never generous enough, and may we continue to grow and ask. And just as you couldn't help but give your whole life, may we give our lives away, God. We thank you for the wonderful news of Christmas, your love, your sacrifice. We celebrate you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So even before we get to sing, we have an opportunity to remember this cross. Remember the fact that Jesus Christ, his body was broken for us. His blood was shed on the cross. And so if you believe that Jesus died and that he rose again, the table's for you. For all those who believe in their hearts and have confessed it with their mouth, you're welcome to take this. And so we invite you to come to remember that we're broken, that we're wandering. And so take this time to reflect. We'll have verses up on the screen, reflections on the screen. And so whenever you feel ready, come on down and take this, and then we'll get to sing and celebrate what God has done. So come when you're ready.